We are now continuing our examination of the doctrine of ambassadorship, and we have identified it by definition, and then we have noted that as we believe in Jesus Christ at that moment of our salvation, a couple of the things that happens to us at that moment is to be commissioned into two areas. The first is ordination into the royal priesthood, and the second is assignment to the devil's world as a royal ambassador. We defined ambassador as a diplomatic agent of the highest rank, accredited to a foreign government as the resident representative of his own sovereign. And many ambassadors are delegated plenipotentiary authority. And we define plenipotentiary as a diplomatic agent invested with full power to transact business on behalf of his sovereign. We noted in closing first session some principles about both the priesthood and the ambassador function. Now we continue with point 8. Divine power is delegated to the believer to carry out these functions through the filling of the Holy Spirit and within the environment of the divine power system. You have been delegated divine power for your priesthood and your ambassadorship. You have plenipotentiary authority to execute both categories and to fulfill the Christian way of life. There is no way that you can say, I can't do this, or something happened I wasn't planning on, or anything of that nature. You have the power to overcome anything in life. Nothing will challenge you that is beyond the plan of God. And so divine power is delegated to the believer to carry out these functions. It is accomplished through the filling of the Holy Spirit, delegated omnipotence of the third person of the Trinity, and that occurs within the environment of the divine power system. Within the system which we've studied in such detail in the past, you may use the Holy Spirit as your power source to execute the Christian way of life. Point 9. These are the plenipotentiary privileges of our priesthood and our ambassadorship. You have the power, delegated power, to represent your sovereign. So when it comes to being courageous, to making decisions and standing by them, if you're confident in what you're doing because of your inventory of ideas, you know it's biblical and you know it's right, and you execute it, you make the decision based on what you know to be right, you can have great confidence in what you do, and you know that you've been empowered to do it by the Holy Spirit. This is called spiritual self-esteem. It's called great confidence in what you're doing. And you have to have confidence in order to play. So these are plenipotentiary privileges of our priesthood and ambassadorship. 10. We have the plenipotentiary power to worship God through the filling of the Holy Spirit, manifest by the ability to grow in grace. We have the plenipotentiary power to worship God. And that's through the filling of the Holy Spirit. Can't do it otherwise. And that is manifest by the ability to grow in grace. Worship, the primary function of worship is to grow. What you're doing now is the primary function of worship. It is sitting down and listening to the communication of the Word of God and its principles. Everything else in the worship field comes next. And there's really not any specific order. It's whatever comes up next. On second Sunday, we try to do the Eucharist. Of course, we sing songs when Tammy's here, and on occasion when we have the tape machine going. But that's part of worship. And of course, we do the collection whenever we have music. But if you want to contribute to the church, you know how to find a deacon. We make a big deal. Do not make a big deal of money here. And of course, there's prayer. We just had prayer meeting. But all of those things must be second to the number one priority, which is learning the Word of God. You can't pray effectively if you don't have doctrine in your soul. You can't know what it means to give as you're so prospered and to give as you're so motivated unless you have doctrine to understand that concept. You can't sing praise songs to God unless there's some doctrinal inventory that motivates that singing. And you certainly cannot participate in the Eucharist unless you have a clear understanding of the doctrines of soteriology and Christology that it pertains to. So doctrine's number one. 11. We have the plenipotentiary power to serve God through the filling of the Holy Spirit, and that's manifest by a courageous application of doctrine to experience. The plenipotentiary power to serve God, that's done through the filling of the Holy Spirit, and is manifest by the courageous application of doctrine to experience. And so point 10 documents priesthood, 11 ambassadorship. 12. From all of this, we can develop a profile for the royal ambassador for Christ. Here's the profile. And get your Bible handy. Subpoint 1. The ambassador does not appoint himself. We are appointed by God. 2 Corinthians 5:20. And I just put these in my notes, but I decided since no one ever looks these things up that I'd read them to you. We are appointed by God as an ambassador. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were entreating through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And of course, reconciliation is where the barrier is removed through faith alone in Christ alone. That's our message as ambassador. 2. The ambassador does not support himself. He doesn't have to work in the host nation in order to support himself. His sovereign provides his needs. And so we are sustained by God's provision of logistical grace. And that is taught in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Here is how you are sustained as an ambassador in an alien environment. For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his life's span? And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin, yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, men of little faith? Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles, meaning the unbelievers, eagerly seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. The guarantee of logistical grace support to the believer. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen. Point 3. The ambassador's instructions are always in written form, so he has no doubt as to what he should do. The ambassador has written instructions. He has no doubt about his mission, what his assignments are. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, Remember, it says workman here. That has to do with application. Divine, good application. The workman that needs not to be ashamed. And how did you get this? It came from being diligent. Due diligence is Bible study. In fact, the King James uses the word study there. Study to show yourself approved unto God. That's your due diligence. So that you would be a workman who is not to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. And of course, your instructions are in the Scripture. You are to handle them accurately. 4. The ambassador does not belong to the country to which he is sent. He's not a citizen there. Our headquarters, our home, and our citizenship is in heaven. We are not citizens here except in the sense we're citizens of our nation, and we'll get to that in future studies. But as far as your spiritual life is concerned, you're not a citizen here. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Philippians 3:20 documents that we are aliens in the devil's world because we are citizens of heaven at the moment of our faith in Christ. Therefore, the word found here for citizenship is really the Greek word poletuma, and it carries with it certain exclusive privileges which are available only to those who are members of the royal family. We are members of the royal poletuma, which is the citizenship and its privileges in heaven. Anytime you're a citizen of a nation, certain privileges come to you that the non-citizen doesn't have. And in the poletuma concept of the Roman Empire, Roman citizens had a lot of privileges that the resident aliens did not have, and that's the concept found here. And poletuma privilege includes plenipotentiary power to execute the plan of God. There, 4.5. The ambassador doesn't live in that country for his own personal interest. Why would anybody come here to live 70 years for their own interest? Now, if you had an option, would you stay in heaven or would you go to heaven? Paul said, I got options. You know, I'd like to go to heaven, get this over with, get out of here. That would be best for me. But what is best for you is that I stay and teach the Word of God and write a few epistles. So I'll hang around till God takes me home. And so the ambassador doesn't live in the country for his own personal interest. We live here on earth solely in the interest of our Lord. Why do you live your life? You must orient to the concept that God comes first, and you must serve your Lord and represent Him on this earth. What you do, what you say, where you go, how you present yourself, all of these things is a part of your ambassadorship. Whether you like it or not, through faith in Christ, you have become a representative for Jesus Christ in the devil's world. Therefore, you should take seriously how you present yourself to others. God takes it seriously. And you should too. And if you become slothful in that regard, you eventually are going to have to clean yourself up in your thinking, in your attitude, in your presentation. Because God insists His ambassadors are professional and operate in such a manner. And so you can buck the system. And we'll get around to bucking the system. That comes later on in our study. But you can't buck this system. You made a big mistake, Jack, when you accepted Christ as Savior. You hear me? You made a big mistake then because you're in a plan you can't circumvent. You're going to do it God's way or you'll pay. And God's desire is to bless you exceedingly abundantly. I got things in store for you you cannot believe. You want to be happy? I got a happiness store. Come buy it from me. No, you want to do it your way. I don't want to have anything to do with the divine decrees. I got my day planner all filled out. I'm going to do it this way. And don't be bothering me with anything outside of my day planner. We live here on earth solely to serve the interest of our Lord. Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31. I'll go back to 28, verse 28 for context. And one of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he had answered them well, asked him, "What commandment is the foremost of all?" And Jesus answered, "The foremost is Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." What's your number one priority? There it is right there. Personal love for God. Priority two, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Unconditional love for all mankind. Now that is the obligation of the ambassador. He is not here to promote self or in any way to promote self. He's not here for personal interest or personal aggrandizement. He is here to serve his Lord Jesus Christ, Mark 12, 30 and 31. The ambassador does not treat any insult to himself as personal. You're going to get involved in a lot of discussions in this life with the unbeliever and with reversionists and with recalcitrants. And they're going to call you things and say things to you that's not going to be complimentary. But you must not take that as personal. You are a professional representative of Jesus Christ. You carry His message to anyone who will hear it. Because someone doesn't like the message and therefore assaults the messenger is not your concern. If you're worried about what other people think about you, you're not going to function well as an ambassador or as a Christian. As long as you are right, it doesn't matter what other people think. Now that is misinterpreted often. And well, it doesn't matter what other people think. It does matter what other people think in the proper context, but there are circumstances that arise where you have to take a stand for truth. You have to do the right thing. And there are going to be people who don't understand and don't agree. And at that point, it don't matter what they think. You have to do the right thing. You have to stand for truth. And you can't compromise because someone might disagree. Or it might offend someone. Like that Desert Storm deal. I'll never forget that when we were sending Brett and those other guys the packages and what have you. And they told us, well, don't put any Bibles or any kind of Bible stories or anything like that in the package. Man, I told Joanna, I said, go out and buy some Bibles. We're going to flood that place with Bibles. You know, they're going to throw them away. They got them to throw away. I'm not going to compromise with this insanity of dadgum sand jockeys over there telling us what we can and can't mail. To our own servicemen over there protecting their oil patch. Well, you see, I bloviate. You don't take these things as personal. This is the royal ambassador's function in both spiritual self-esteem and in personal love for all mankind. And so, we tolerate others. We hold no grudges. This is Royal Family Honor Code, Interpersonal Relationship Section, Romans chapter 12. And we've studied that in detail, and I'll not go through Romans 12 in detail. But two or three verses that are pertinent to this idea of not taking assaults personally. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be in harmony with all mankind. If possible, so long as it depends on you, be in harmony with all mankind. Now, you see, if you've got an inflexible concept to pop up, well, what are you going to do? You can't be in harmony any longer. You've got to break harmony. You've got to send the Bible. 19. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Verse 20. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil by means of the good. 7. When an ambassador is recalled, his recall is tantamount to a declaration of war. So when a president or a sovereign recalls all of his ambassadors from a given geographic location, Well, at that point, he's getting ready to kick shins and take names. We're going to declare war. And so, this is the concept. His recall, therefore, is analogous for the church age ambassador to the rapture of the church. The tribulation is analogous to the warfare which follows. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 7 and 8. The recall is analogous to the rapture of the church, and the resultant warfare is analogous to the tribulation. 2 Thessalonians 2, 7 and 8. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains, and we've learned that's the Holy Spirit, will continue his ministry of restraint until he is taken out of the way. That is the rapture of the church. Verse 8. And then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. And of course, that is the end of the tribulation, the second advent of Jesus Christ. And so when an ambassador is recalled, his recall is tantamount to a declaration of war. Our recall is analogous to the rapture of the church. The tribulation is analogous to the warfare which follows. Point 13. In order for the believer to successfully orienteer as both a citizen of heaven as well as a citizen of his client nation, he must assume the attitude and the status of an ambassador. You have to orient. If you're going to orienteer in this hostile environment, you have to develop an attitude. And you don't get an attitude, you develop an attitude. And the attitude has to be one of ambassador. And so that brings us to paragraph H. Ambassadorship function, influence, not control. There are three words here I want to discuss. Influence, control, and interfere. Let's define them. The definition of influence: a spiritual or moral force. The power of producing an effect without apparent exertion of force or direct exercise of command. Repeat, it's real important you get the difference between these words here. I'm saying that the ambassadorship function is to influence, not control. And we're studying separation of church and state in our place, in our society, in our day. How are we to orient to the ruling zeitgeist? How are we to respond to the mandate of Romans 13:1? Now, we've examined what the First Amendment really means. And we've also noted what it currently means. We've examined Nero and all of the other Julio-Claudian Caesars. We've seen that things could be a lot worse than they are now. Our mandate is to submit to duly appointed authority, even though they are wrong, even though they've gone in and illegally manipulated the meaning of our founding document. It doesn't matter. We are in a society and we cannot change this in the way that people normally think things are changed. I'll give you the solution. You're not going to like it, but I will give you the solution before we're done. And so our duty as an ambassador is to influence. Influence is considered to be a spiritual or a moral force. The power of producing an effect without apparent exertion of force or direct exercise of command. Influence is the power to cause an effect in indirect or intangible ways. The power to cause an effect in indirect or intangible ways. Now, you've got two sentences down there defining influence. The first one is overt, the power of producing an effect without apparent exertion of force or direct exercise of command. That is overt action. The second, power to cause an effect in indirect or intangible ways. That is invisible. And so the first sentence of the definition refers to your function in the Christian way of life, living the Christian way of life, verbalizing the gospel, standing for truth. That's overt. You have influence that way. But that influence is without apparent exertion of force or direct exercise of command. The second one is invisible historical impact. It is the power to cause an effect in indirect or intangible ways. You're doing that now by enlarging your stream of consciousness through Bible study. That is invisible historical impact. And you, by just being here, are having an influence on our society. The next word is control. Synonyms they give for control, the concepts include to regulate, to have power over, and to rule. Ambassadorship function is to influence, not control. Influence, not control. If you want to control, then your desire is to regulate. Therefore, you must become a crusader. If you want to control, then you have to have power over. You want to seize control of the government and turn it into some kind of national Christian deal, and that's not even what the founders had in mind. They said, no, there will be no national denomination. You want everybody to line up with the doctrine of Grace Doctrine Church. No. Everybody has to line up with certain standards according to the founders, and that was faith in Christ, belief in God and the Scriptures and that kind of thing. That's been changed. That's been changed. And we have to adjust. It's our duty. And there are therefore those who want to rule, and those are the Catholics. Now the next word is interfere. Well, I don't say that snidely. They want to rule. That is the case, and it has been historically in Europe. They want to rule the government over there. And that created the problem in England that caused us to come here. Our forefathers came here because of that. The establishment church, and then the disestablishment, and then the anti-disestablishment crowd. And then Lord knows how many other syllables they tacked on since. Interfere is a word we need to note. To interfere means to hinder, impede, oppose, or obstruct. It's not the duty of the ambassador to hinder our government, to impede it, to oppose it, or to obstruct it. Now with our definitions down, we can note a few points as time remains. Point one. As a royal ambassador, we each seek to represent and promote the interest of our sovereign. So what are his interests? Well, if you're not into the map here, you don't know. But once you learn them, you are the representative of those concepts. You promote the interest of your sovereign. Two, this assignment is to take place within the confines of the client nation to which we are assigned by the sovereign. Where'd you wake up when you were born? Well, not everybody was born in this country that's in this congregation, but you wound up here. As a believer, you're in the royal family of God in the heavenly community. And guess what happened to you, foreign-born believers? Where'd you wind up? In the client nation. How about the rest of you who were born here? Some of you were born in the north and haven't recovered. Some of you were born in the south, some in the west, and so on. But you were born somewhere. And that was your assignment. You know, I think it's interesting where people are born. Have you ever thought of that? What if you were born in some God-forsaken sinkhole like, say, Saudi Arabia or Iraq? Rwanda. Costa Rica. Man. What if you woke up there the day you were born? Wouldn't that be horrible? Well, you think, well, Pastor, it would have been in the decrees. But see, that's my point. You weren't born there. You're born here. And those of you who weren't, through faith in Christ, were led here in the plan of God. Client nation. This is your assignment. 3. In representing our Lord, we take the position of guests in the host country. You're a guest here. Mind your manners. Forgot to read manners today, didn't I? Too much to do. In representing our Lord, we take the position of guests in the host country. 4. As such, we refrain from interfering with the government affairs of the host. As such, we refrain from interfering with the governmental affairs of the host. Now, to interfere means to hinder, impede, oppose, or obstruct. Did Paul... ever recommend that Christians of the first century hinder, impede, oppose, or obstruct the government of Nero? He did not. He said, honor the king. Now, you ain't got to like it. You don't have to agree with it. You can think they're scumbags. But in no way can you hinder, impede, oppose, or obstruct. I mean, to think that Nero was some kind of great guy just because he was emperor is a removal from reality. 5. Paul was a citizen of the Roman Empire. We are citizens of the United States of America. Each is an earthly citizenship. Both are temporal. Orient to that. Your citizenship is earthly and it's temporal. Orient. 6. But following salvation, Paul, as well as those of us, became citizens of a heavenly community. Paul points this out in Philippians 3:17-20. Philippians 3:17, join with others in following my example. And take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now reiterate, even as I weep, many believers live their lives as enemies of the cross of Christ. Why is that? Because they don't orient to their ambassadorship function, the fact they're in an earthly environment and that temporary. And they have their own agenda, their own day planners got it fixed as to what's going to bring them happiness, and they do not want any interference from God, although they are believers. And they don't say it that way. Of course, they make the proper genuflex and so on, and they nod to God and so on. That's it. When it comes to adjusting, when it comes to duty, they don't have that. I'm going to do it my way. My day planner has got happiness coming about this way. And you preachers and all, well, you can't prove the Bible. Then you start with that crap on me. Can't prove the Bible. How do we know this? How do we know that? I'm not interested in that. That's your problem. You are the one who is confused. God is not confused. I never cease to be amazed at those who are believers in Jesus Christ and will not do their duty. What's your duty? Well, find it in the Word of God and then do it. Ambassadorship function centers in many ways around your spiritual gift. Are you functioning there? What's your spiritual gift? Do you know? Do you care? Many live their lives as enemies of the cross of Christ. Why is that? They're in the plan. They don't use the assets. They have plenty of potentiary power, but they choose to use human energy. And the little old piddly human good they're able to crank out on occasion is absolutely ludicrous by comparison to what they could accomplish in the plan of God using the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God as a guide. It's just silly what people do and call themselves Christians for doing it. Well, what about you if you qualify? Verse 19, their destiny is destruction. Sent unto death. Their God is their emotion. That's overemphasis on self. Anyone who is emotional has self first. When it comes to back them in a corner, it's self first. Everything they do, every decision they make is expedient for them first. Their God is their emotion, which means their God is themselves. And their glory is in their shame. Obviously, no escrow blessings in time or eternity. Their mind is where? On earthly things, which are temporal and will not last. And therefore, they are incapable of isolating distractions. They can't orient. Distraction comes in, they're disoriented. They think that it lines up with some slot here on their day timer, but they're distracted, and they're disoriented to the plan of God. And therefore, their life starts to bounce around. And so it goes back to that map. I mean, we start here at the cross, and over here is physical death or the rapture, and then that's your life. And you're to orient through this thing. And you go to point A and B and C and D and E. But when you get here to A and you're not interested, this is too hard, this is boring, and then you start doing it on your own. And this is the way people live a Christian life. And they get out here, and it's one great big explosion of misery. And the wham, wham. Verse 20. But our citizenship, poletuma, is in heaven. And that's permanent. A permanent citizenship in heaven with poletuma privileges, from which we also eagerly anticipate the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. That is your rightful expectation of the rapture's recall of all ambassadors. 7. Prior to recall, we are to function as ambassadors for Christ, and part of that assignment, according to our written instructions, is to obey the laws of the host and to submit to those who are in positions of authority. Prior to recall, prior to physical death or the rapture, we are to function as ambassadors for Christ. And part of that assignment, according to our written instructions, Romans 13:1 and other passages we've noted, our written instruction is to obey the laws of the host and to submit to those who are in positions of authority. Father, we are grateful to you for the privilege of noting these things today. Our prayer is that as we move through this study, we would be enabled by your scriptures to orient to your plan, that we would become even more effective ambassadors for Christ as we begin to develop proper priorities. May we leave time open on our day timers from this point on for those things which you have prepared for us within the divine decrees, those things which are designed to motivate and encourage us to use doctrine, to see your grace in action, and to enable us to acquire escrow blessings in both time and in eternity. Motivate us by these things as we continue the advance, and we lift our prayer in the name of Christ, our Savior. Charis human kai arene, pletun thai en epinosai, tu theu kai iesu, tu kuriu hemon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your epinosis, knowledge of God, and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Dismissed.